This is Global Air Force.
This particular story begins, I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago. I'm in my office. It's like a Thursday afternoon, I think. Everybody else is gone. And I never answer the phone because I don't like telephones, you know. So I'm in my office and doing a study or something, and the phone rings. And they say everyone's gone, so for some reason I pick the phone up. And there's a guy on the other end of the line who's calling me, and he's a Satanist. And he's calling me to curse me. And I hear this hissing sound like a snake. And this guy introduces himself, I am a Satanist, and I'm part of this coven, and I'm going to curse you, and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord had been talking to me about the overcoming nature of the Spirit. And the Lord had been giving me, like, really in my own kind of personal life and walk with Him, pushing out the boundaries of my freedom and my victory. And to say that, to tell me that I was coming into a season where I would be engaged in protracted warfare, that the enemy would come after me, but that God would protect me, He would keep me, and actually He was going to teach me about victory, about being in the Spirit, but also that no weapon fashioned against me would prosper. The promise was that everything that the enemy said against me, God would use it for my blessing, but also too that as the enemy engaged with me, particularly in human form, as he used a human agent, that God would give me an anointing actually to have an assignment for them, that I would be rescuing some of the enemy's key players from the kingdom of darkness and seeing them translated into the kingdom of light.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
I want to present a composite, a message of a minister that's come to us from Southampton, England. His name is Graham Cook. He is an author of many books and a noted conference speaker. He will present the kingdom of God with a fresh understanding, with a fresh look into the heart and mind of God. And I believe that there's someone out there that needs to hear his particular message today. Here is Graham Cook.
And I believe that no pit is so deep that God is not deepest in. And whatever depths you are driven to in your life, God is always underneath you and always carrying you. It is impossible to go to any depth and not have God underneath. I said, there'll come a day when the God who goes down into the depths with you will surely bring you up and bring you out, because that's what He's like. And that God who is in your depths, who is in that pit with you, will surely bring you out, because He is faithful to Himself. That's what He's like.
It seems that we're living in days where we're really one of the items up for discussion concerns radical renewal or business as usual. I think the Lord is saying to the church universal, I want my church back. I think if there was a moment when the Lord would appear in every church around the world simultaneously, He'd be giving the same message that Moses gave to Pharaoh, let my people go. I think we're in a place where we need to seriously restore the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is more important than the church, and you cannot push the kingdom through the church. You actually have to push the church through the kingdom. And so I love networks, I love associations, but they're really only a means to an end, and the end is the kingdom. And the end of the kingdom is to see the glory of God fill the whole earth. Yeah? So it's really important that we restore the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus came preaching about heaven. And virtually in every major discourse he had with people, whether it was public preaching or private consultation, he talked about heaven. This is what heaven is like. And he talked about his Father. And he talked about a relational paradigm for spirituality. So he said, I only do what the Father is doing, and I only say what he's saying. So when push comes to shove, there's only two things you got to remember. Make sure you're in a position in your relationship with God where you can observe him. And make sure you're in a position before God where you can hear him. Yeah? Because that's the only way that we're ever going to be successful in ministry, is to see what God is doing and say what he's saying. That's our role in the earth, is to raise up millions and millions of people who are capable of seeing God and who are capable of hearing God. If we're creating a church that is dependent upon ministry for its life, then we have failed God in one of the most significant things. We are here not so that people can have an encounter with our anointing and our ministry. We are only here for one reason only as leaders, and that is to lead our people into a promised land. It's to lead our people into a relationship with God so profound they don't actually need us to live there. We are facilitators, and our job is to bring people into a direct one-on-one encounter with God. So our meetings are only ever about encounters. We gather people together for the purpose of them encountering the King of Heaven here on earth. And then we teach them, we equip them to live their life in a brilliant way. The early church operated in a gathered paradigm and a scattered paradigm. So they met in Solomon's portico. They didn't meet every week. They met whenever they could, because a lot of them were slaves and everything else and busy lives. And so they met in Solomon's portico, but they also met from house to house. And I want to say, I think, in my own personal opinion, not passing this off as a truth or a doctrine, I think the house-to-house thing had way more significance than anything that happened at Solomon's place. Yeah? So we are teaching, we are equipping people to live their life out there in society, out in their community, where their spirituality can do the most good. Because whatever encounters we bring people into as a body, they are then should be empowered to go out and bring the whole community into that same encounter. It's what we call evangelism. So we need not to be sanctuary driven in our spirituality, but we need to empower people to see God in all of his glory and to encounter that. That's a radical renewal. I don't believe in revival as a construct for getting people saved. I think revival is not about people getting saved, because you can never revive something that hasn't been alive. So there are three aspects to a move of God. First of all, there is renewal, which is renewal of our passion for Jesus. It's the renewal of the church's love affair with God. I think one of the sins of evangelicalism, speaking as an evangelical, is that we have put the Great Commission ahead of the First Commandment. God is not looking for laborers. He's looking for worshipers primarily. And so the key thing that we have to introduce into our churches is to always be pursuing intimacy with God. That means that what we're doing in worship, we have to be better at worship next year than we have been this year. We need more encounters with God in our worship need stronger encounters next year than we've had this year. Yeah. So we're looking to build upon this whole theme of we are creating worshipers who adore God, who love God, and who show they adore God, not by the fact that they show up on time for worship meetings, but they actually know how to rejoice in life and how to live a life of celebration. Because we are a celebrating people. We have tons to celebrate. I've just come from Byron Bay, one of the New Age capitals of Australia, and I thoroughly enjoyed the warfare. Fabulous. I mean, you walk down the street in Byron Bay, and you come up to somebody, and they go, "I know who you are," which is great. You can say, "Yeah, dude, I clocked you about 50 yards ago. Hey, what's it like working for the losing team?" That's funny. Warfare is brilliant. It's right there. It's right in your face. Fabulous. Yeah? Because you know what God is like, hey? It's only in the times of intense warfare that you get to hear God laughing. It's like he's looking at the enemy saying, "What? Is that all you've got? Hey, listen, Graham and I will just wait here. Why don't you go off and get some reinforcements? When you come back, we're still going to kick your butt. Because I'm the King of Heaven, and he likes me." Yeah? There is a place in the Spirit set aside for us where we make the enemy tired. We make him weary. We dispirit him. We make him depressed, requiring therapy. Yeah? If there is no such place set aside in the Spirit, then clearly Jesus is not Lord. Radical renewal is about creating an environment on earth that's the same as the one that's in heaven. That's our job. Leadership is about environments, and it's about creating atmospheres. Jesus said, "On earth as it is in heaven." He came preaching the gospel of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom. On earth as it is in heaven. As he is now, so are we in this world. We are here to create an alternative dimension, not an alternative culture, not an alternative society, but an alternative dimension. We're here to teach people you are not subject to anything in the natural world. You're not subject to the credit crisis. You're not, you can live above those places. And warfare is not about pulling down strongholds of the enemy. It's about discovering the sovereignty, the supremacy, and the majesty of Jesus. That is what we are about. We are about creating here on earth the same atmosphere that is in heaven. So that we, whatever has been bound in heaven already, we have permission to bind on earth. You don't have to ask the Lord, it's a given. So when we're facing sickness in places, the question we have to ask is there cancer in heaven? No, it's been bound, therefore it can be bound on earth. Is there health released in heaven? Is everyone healthy in heaven? Yeah, well then we can release health on the earth. As he is, so are we. On earth, as it is in heaven, that is the role of the church in the world. The great thing about journeying with the Lord is that he knows how to keep us day after day in every kind of situation. There is no circumstance, there's no situation, there's no set of events that he does not have the power, not only to keep us, but to prosper us in those situations. That he can turn everything around for our good. He has a particular genius at this whole kind of thing. And that's a fabulous thought for me, you know, because in all of the ups and downs of life, God is the one remaining constant. And so the one thing that the Holy Spirit is teaching us is to be as constant as God is. Because as He is in Himself, so are we in this world. And we get to learn how to be constant, how to be consistent, how to be faithful. And the biggest part of that whole deal is you cannot become constant and consistent and faithful unless you know what it's like to be kept by God. Yeah? So you know what the Lord's like. He has to originate everything. Something about being a creator. Yeah? He's always creating. And so He creates a place for us in Himself, in His heart, in His affection. He creates this place for us. And as we live in that place, all the benefits of that actually come into our life. So He creates His place and says, I will keep you. And because I'm going to keep you out of that place, you can learn to be as constant, consistent, and faithful as I am. Because my keeping of you is all about you discovering how constant, how consistent, and how faithful I am. So what God wants from you, He first of all gives to you. Yeah?
This story begins, I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago. I'm in my office. It's like a Thursday afternoon, I think. Everybody else is gone. And I never answer the phone because I don't like telephones, you know. So I'm in my office and doing a study or something, and the phone rings. And say everyone's gone. So for some reason, I pick the phone up. And there's a guy on the other end of the line who's calling me. And he's a Satanist. And he's calling me to curse me. And so he suddenly, I hear this hissing sound like a snake. And this guy introduces himself, I am a Satanist, and I'm part of this coven, and I'm going to curse you, and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord had been talking to me about the overcoming nature of the Spirit. And the Lord had been giving me, like, really in my own kind of personal life and walk with Him, pushing out the boundaries of my freedom and my victory. And to say that, to tell me that I was coming into a season where I would be engaged in protracted warfare, that the enemy would come after me, but that God would protect me, He would keep me, and actually He was going to teach me about victory, about being in the Spirit, but also that no weapon fashioned against me would prosper. The promise was that everything that the enemy said against me, God would use it for my blessing. But also, too, that as the enemy engaged with me, particularly in human form, as he used a human agent, that God would give me an anointing, actually, to have an assignment for them, that I would be rescuing some of the enemy's key players from the kingdom of darkness and seeing them translated into the kingdom of light. So this had been going on with me for like 6 or 8 months of revelation, God speaking to me, promises coming to me, even people coming with prophetic words saying, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me, but this is like, I sense this is what God is opening up for you. And it was all a confirmation of, I felt, the next stage in my journey of my walk with God. So that's the kind of backdrop to this situation. So this is the first time anything serious has happened, yeah? But I'm living in the flow of this kind of revelation. So phone rings Thursday afternoon. I pick it up. There's a Satanist there. He introduces himself. He's part of a coven. Starts to curse me on the phone. As I'm hearing him curse me, this little cloud arises in the office and this really obnoxious smell in my office. So I'm sat there listening to this guy on the phone curse my ministry and everything, seeing this cloud, smelling this smell, and from within me, I rose up this indignation. How dare you, you know, curse me on the phone, bring smells and clouds into my office. Who do you think you are, buddy? And everything that God had spoken to me began to well up in my spirit and come into my conscious mind. I had this incredible sense of the arms of God being around me, and the sense of the presence of God and the protection of God, and I knew this is the moment that God has been preparing me for a while now. So this guy is cursing me, you know, my ministry, that I'll lose my anointing, that I'll be out of ministry, that I'll be sick, that I'll die, all that kind of stuff. So he stops. And so I said to him, how long have you been a Satanist? He said, about over 20 years. I said, but you're not a very good one, are you? And the funny thing for me is I'm saying this and I'm hearing myself say it. You know, it's not like this is premeditated. It's just coming up out of my spirit. And so, you're not a very good Satanist, then, are you? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you could have done something better than that. Now, you know, I was expecting, if you're going to curse me, you'd make it like, you know, something significant, eh? I'm disappointed. But you need to know that the promise of God upon my life is, every curse of the enemy, God will turn it into a blessing. So, hey, listen, do you want to take a deep breath and have another go? Because I'm not afraid of you. I trust what God has said to me, that no weapon fashioned against me will prosper, that he will take every curse and turn it into a blessing. I would like a bigger blessing in my life, so how about giving me a better curse than that? So he took a deep breath and he had another go. That which was great, because the more he spoke, the more peaceful I became, and the more, it's almost like laughter rising up in my spirit. And then he finishes and I say, well, look, you need to understand this, that actually you called me because you believe you have a demonic assignment against my life. But that's not the real reason that you called me. You called me because I have a spiritual assignment for your life. So this is the word of the Lord to you. I'm coming to get you. And I heard him hiss and curse and slam the phone down. And as he slammed the phone down, the cloud and the smell just disappeared. And so I sit there and I just spend some time praying for this guy. You know, and then over the next few months and so on, I take time out just to pray for this guy, just to ask that the Lord's hand to be upon him and so on. About 18 months later, sat in my office, on my own, phone rings. For some reason, I pick it up. It's the same guy. And he said to me, in the intervening period, I mean, the anointing on my life had gone off the chart. It's like God took me and propelled me into a totally different dimension. I was in a place in the spirit that I could never have imagined me getting to, you know. So I'm enjoying all the fruits of this. Phone rings, pick it up, it's this same guy. And I said, hi, my name is Graham. And he starts laughing and he said, I was hoping I would get you. And I kind of, part of me kind of like, I think I've heard this voice before, you know. So I said, so who's calling? He said, well, you may not remember me, but I was the Satanist who called you 18 months ago. And I started laughing. I said, oh man, I am so, you wouldn't believe what God has done in my life. And he starts laughing. I said, the blessing on my life is incredible. I am so appreciative. I said, I really blessed the day you phoned me and all that God did. And he starts laughing. And I said, hang on a minute, but you said I was the Satanist. What's that about? He said, well, you need to know, I have cursed lots of Christians and I've seen them almost shrivel up in front of me with fear and everything else. But I have never encountered anybody who spoke to me the way that you did. And I said, I hated that phone call. And he said, you know, the last words you said haunted me for months. I've got a message for you from the Lord. I'm coming to get you. And it haunted me. I could take no pleasure in a lot of the things that we did in terms of our rituals and sacrifices and stuff like that. And it began to trouble me. I couldn't sleep. I lost weight. I felt ill on days. I knew something was changing. I no longer got any satisfaction or feelings of power out of what I was doing. And I was on a real power trip. You know, witchcraft is always about having power over others, and I enjoyed my power. He said, then one day we were in our coven, was up on the South Downs, which is a range of hills in southern England, and we were in this wooded area, bonfire, and we just slit the neck of this cockerel. We were doing a blood ritual. And he said, suddenly Jesus appeared and stood in the flames of the fire. And he stood there for the longest time, and none of us could move our feet. It's like my feet had taken root to the soil. And he looked at each one of us in turn. And then he stepped out of the flames. He never said a word the whole time. But he came to each one of us, and he touched our mouths. And when he touched my mouth, every demon in me fled. He said, in the whole coven, 24 of us got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit from that point on. He said, and so I've been in safe houses for the last like 6 months or so because other covens pursuing me because I've changed sides. But I just wanted you to know that God is with me and that I'm walking in the light. Isn't that amazing? So, guy phones me up, curses me. I not only get a brother, but I get 23 of his friends at the same time. How's that for the power of God, eh? Don't you love it?
Can you imagine 24 men around a fire somewhere in a wooded area in England? Now, these men are worshiping Satan. They are celebrating a blood sacrifice. And Jesus appears. And Jesus stands in the fire and turns to each one of them and looks at them in the eye. And then he comes out of the fire and touches their lips. And at that moment, they are set free from the power of darkness. Isn't that wonderful? What our God can do? My friend, what he's done for them, he can do for you. I pray for these people right now, this special listener that is so bound up by evil forces. I pray in the name of Jesus that they are set free right now as I pray in the name of Jesus. Their life, their heart, their body, their soul is set free. My Lord will give you all the praise and thanks for what you've done for this individual.
You know, I believe that no pit is so deep, but God is not deeper still. And whatever depths you are driven to in your life, God is always underneath you and always carrying you. It is impossible to go to any depth and not have God underneath. And so there'll come a day when the God who goes down into the depths with you will surely bring you up and bring you out, because that's what he's like. And that God who is in your depths, who is in that pit with you, will surely bring you out, because he is faithful to himself. That's what he's like.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Our website, globalairforce.net. That's globalairforce.net.
Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. But all too soon it went away. Thank you for a brand new touch.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.